we're getting some kind of a feedback right now. All right. Tomorrow, we celebrate Memorial Day. And we think about all of those who gave the ultimate sacrifice, their lives. This is not Veterans Day, where we remember all of those who served. This is Memorial Day, when we remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. Had they not made the sacrifice, we might not be meeting together here this morning as we are meeting. For they had a concept in their hearts and in their minds as to why they were doing what they were doing. You know, I think it is appropriate that we set aside a day where we remember each year the men and women who left their loved ones, who went out to serve, understanding that they might pay the ultimate price to defend you and I and the freedoms that we have. They did not always understand why they fought the battles that they fought. But one thing in their hearts was they knew that what they did was right. That's not quite the way it is today. There were really two great battles fought. There was the Revolutionary War back in the 1700s. There was a Civil War fought in the 1860s. And then there was the War of 1812, but that wasn't so notable as the other two. As Connie and I have traveled the country, we have noticed that not all of the graves are marked. Where the remains of those who nobly gave their lives were buried. But the ideals that they held are written, and the ideals that were written upon their hearts and minds have been passed on to those who have lived after them. Today, there's some things missing in a lot of our society. Patriotism, for one thing. Are all the people in this country patriots? No. For you see, there's been a new generation that has risen. They've not been taught love of country. They've not been taught patriotism. They've not been instructed by liberal professors, and even as young as high school, how important and how great a country this is. And today is a day where we remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for this nation. A lot of young people today no longer understand patriotism, loyalty to our nation, respect for the flag that represents everything this nation stands for. We see a generation coming along that has lost its moral compass. They have abandoned or let go of the rudder of integrity. We need to teach those lessons sometimes with the way we live. Memorial Day is it's an appropriate time for us to remember our roots, our heritage, which begins by remembering God. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for he it is he that giveth the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." God established this great land. He has placed each of us within its borders, that we might enjoy the freedoms and the right to express our consciences and to follow our consciences whenever we choose to pray, whenever we choose to worship our God. But we have a responsibility to all of those who died before us in defense of this nation. And that's what we remember today. Not those who served and came home. But those who served and didn't come home. They're the ones we think about today. They're the ones we honor today because they are worthy of honor. We don't know the names of all of them, but we do know their motives. It was so that we might have this meeting here this morning, to worship the God who founded our nation. Now, in this great nation right now, not many people meet as we are meeting. The vast majority of the country does not. They consider what we are doing right now a vain thing. Worshiping an untouchable, unknowable God. But to those of us who know Jesus Christ, this that we do this morning is the very essence of our lives. And those that we honor today are the ones who made it possible for us to be here. So we do need to remember those. And we need to say a prayer, not for them, for prayer, they're beyond prayer, but for the heritage, for their families, for those who live after them, and for the many generations since they made their sacrifice. So I think it would be right for us this morning at this time to take a few moments to have a time of prayer for them, for their families, for those who live on, and to pray that God will establish men and women who have the same morals, the same values that they had, which caused them to give that sacrifice, their life. Father, we come before you this morning asking that for all of those, thanking you first of all, for all of those who have made the ultimate sacrifice for this nation which you founded, this nation that you established, this nation that you continue to support. And Father, we call upon thee to establish in our hearts and in the hearts of our loved ones and our friends the same values that caused these men and women to sacrifice everything they had. Lord, may we be willing to sacrifice what we have and what we are for the sake of your kingdom. And Lord, as we seek your kingdom, we ask that you might continue to sustain our nation, that you might continue to give us the freedoms that we now enjoy. And Father, that this nation, under your direction, might continue to survive, and not just survive, but continue to lead the world in all aspects of our spiritual lives. Thank you, Father, for those who are serving in foreign countries. Thank you for those who are serving out on battlefields this morning, knowing that this could be the last day of their life. Thank you that there are men and women still willing to do that. Watch over them this morning, Father. Give them more days. Bring them home to their loved ones and provide for them safety and support. And Father, we will praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. If you will remember, last Sunday, I didn't get finished with my message. And I want to share the rest of that message because I believe it's one of the most important messages we will ever experience here at Coastal Shores Baptist Church. I believe that we are right on the verge of seeing God do something that we have not experienced personally ourselves, nor corporately as a church. It's been a long time. If we look back in history at the church when it was Harvest, many souls came to know the Lord Jesus Christ because of what this church did in its ministry. That's good. But we can't live on that. If we're going to live as a church, we've got to live in the future. Today and tomorrow. And that's what God wants from us. I am constantly amazed how Tim manages to get the lessons right. Seem to parallel the message. I would like to have you turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter, when he was an early apostle, when he was first with Jesus, he was constantly fouling things up, telling Jesus that he was not to be crucified, and Jesus had to rebuke him by saying, "Get thou behind me, Satan." Impetuous Peter, "Oh, I'll never deny you." And then three times, the day before Jesus was crucified, he denied him. Peter, who argued with God, "No, God, I've never been in the home of a Jewish family or of a Gentile family," before going to Cornelius when God showed him that was what he wanted for him to do. Toward the end of Peter's life, God showed him some things, and part of what he showed Peter is here in the second book of Peter in chapter 1. For years, my wife and I have read God's Word, usually through multiple times a year. And yet, it wasn't until recently that God gave me a glimpse of what He wants to do with not just me, but you. He has something He wants each one of you to experience. And it's not going to be what you do that matters. What is going to matter is going to be what He does. And He is ready to do a lot if we will let Him. If I were to ask you this morning, and I was to say, you know, what is God's purpose for each one of us? I'd get many answers for us to be more like Jesus. And that is it. Each day, we are supposed to be more like Jesus. Now, some of us, like myself, we've had a lot of days to get this thing worked out. But we haven't. I haven't. And I would be surprised if any of you have it all worked out too. So that's what we want to look at. I want to explain what God has showed me from Peter's writings here. And if you get a glimpse of the same thing I got a glimpse of, I think you're going to all get excited. This shouldn't be boring to be here. We should come to church with an expectation. Hey, God is going to do something for me today. God has something for you. And that's why you're here. You're here to get whatever it is God's got for you. Second Peter 1. We read the passage last Sunday, and we're going to read it again. I'm going to read it again right now, and then in a minute or two, we're going to read three verses. Three verses together. You remember what we did when Connie and I first got here, and I was sharing with you some of the workings of God's Holy Spirit? And we read the same two verses over and over and over every week. And many of you now, if I say, what does it say in Galatians 5, 22 and 23? You can tell me. Because God implanted that in your mind. And in order for us to be successful, we're going to need God to implant three verses out of 2 Peter in our minds. And if He does, we're going to see some very special things happening. Let me just read this, 2 Peter 1, 3 through 9. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and unto patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, the Bible says charity, but I'd like to add the word love, because that's what that word means. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. In those verses, Peter tells us how to have a very, very special relationship with God. And I don't know about you. I can't decide for you. I can't make up your mind. But I know I would love to have that kind of a relationship. And I think after you think about it a little bit, you too might want that kind of a relationship. It would almost be heaven on earth. Almost. Every day, imagine, filled with God, close to him, being in his presence. Now, verses 3 and 4 is the information about why and an explanation of how this works. And then we have the three verses that we're going to be sharing back and forth together. And at least every Sunday morning, we're going to recite those verses together for several weeks till we have this all down in our hearts. And I'd sort of like for us to start that this morning. I'd like for all of us who are here this morning to out loud read together 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 7. And we will do this every Sunday morning that I'm here for a number of weeks. But if you've already got your Bible open to that, let's read this together out loud. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 7, okay? And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and let's add love instead of charity, and to brotherly kindness love. 1 Peter 1, 5 through 7. That's the plan. You have just read the plan. We need to enter into that plan. We need to do this arm in arm. Nobody left behind. Everybody moving towards God, moving towards a new relationship with God, arm in arm. And if somebody starts to fall behind, or you feel like you're falling behind, ask for somebody to take you by the hand and bring you along. Because this is what God wants for this ministry. He would not have told us Peter would not have written. He wrote this under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit. God would not tell any of us, and he is telling us, he's speaking directly to you and I. He would not tell any of us to do this if we couldn't. God wants us to do this. You say, well, Brother Ken, I can't do that. I'm doing all I can do right now. Yes, you probably are. But that's not what God is saying. God wants to do this for us. Because I don't know about you, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I still sin. I still have a nature within me that wants to sin. And so God is telling us how to accomplish what he wants accomplished for our lives. During the next few weeks, we are going to undertake walking the path that Peter has laid out for us. One step at a time. We're not going to take any giant steps. We're not going to run. But we are going to, one step at a time, move into this passage of Scripture with our lives. And God is going to be the one who's going to make it possible. He is the one who will give us the ability to do that. Every one of us sitting in this room this morning, I don't see anybody sitting here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, or at least doesn't claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus Christ this morning, you have the Holy Spirit living in your heart. He's there. He's always there. He wants to help each one of us to fulfill this word of God. That's what Tim was talking about this morning. Walking by faith. Doing what God wants. Not because we necessarily want it or even able to do it, but because God wants to do it with us and for us. You say, well, Brother Ken, how in the world are we going to do this? Well, when Connie and I came, we have taken a lot of steps together, one at a time. No leaps of big leaps of faith, one step at a time, coming to the place where we are right now this morning. We are in a place where God can help us to take the next step, one we have not attempted before, one that maybe we don't even understand at this point. But Peter does not leave us in the dark. The last two verses 8 and 9, are an explanation as to how God can help and how we can deny his helping. Verse 9 is all of that. None of us want to be blind. None of us want to just close our eyes and decide we'll go on through life with our eyes closed. No. Now, there have been times in Jesus' life when crowds would come around him and get ready to stone him, and it would say that Jesus just walked out from among them. God blinded their eyes. And sometimes you and I, we let our eyes be blinded to the truth of what God wants to accomplish. I am not perfect, no matter what my wife might think. I am not perfect. There's room for improvement. Now, I'm not sure. I can't speak for you. But I would imagine that every one of us here have room for improvement. Do we? Would you like to see God do it? I would too. And I did not realize until a few weeks ago, when Connie and I had some time away from the church, and I was able to do some reading and spend some time with the Lord, I never realized that He could do this for us and through us if we will let Him. And so I want to start what I'm going to call the Next Step program. And together, we are going to take one step at a time, just like we've taken one step at a time to get to where we are. We are going to move into the future. We are going to move closer to God and closer to God and closer to God. So He's going to be right here with you. And you will know He's here. And we are going to use our lives to glorify Jesus Christ. That is going to be the focus of every one of our lives, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian life is supposed to be exciting, folks. And we need to have exciting lives. We need to have an exciting church. So when people come in, they'll say, hey, there's something going on there. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen because God's going to make it happen. Every day should be an adventure. Now, for some of us, every day is an adventure, sometimes not a good adventure, but an adventure. But folks, I don't know if you know, I am excited about this. I really am. Because God is the one who's going to have to do it. I can't do it. And you can't do it. And that was something I finally saw from what Peter said here, is that God wants to do this for you, and He wants to do the same thing for me. And I believe that if we will let Him, that He will. We are all traveling toward the same place. We are all traveling toward heaven to be with the Lord. We meet here and we share with each other in Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, how we're progressing. What kind of progress are we making? Sometimes we share prayer requests. Well, you know, things are not going so good. Or maybe God is doing something I don't want Him to do. Well, we're still all going to be headed for heaven. But we're going to begin to experience some of the things God wants us to experience on our way. Like I said, you remember how we learned the verses for the fruit of the Spirit. And some of you began to see the Holy Spirit working in your lives, didn't you? You began to maybe even talk to Him a little bit. Because He was right there. We're going to do that again. 2 Peter 1:3-4. 3-5. I'm sorry. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7. Now, let's just look for a few minutes before we get into this. We're running short on time again, but we're going to finish this morning. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. Let's look at that, because that is sort of Peter telling us how this is going to work. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It is God who is in his power that is going to be giving us what we're going to be seeking. Day by day, step by step. God's power is going to give this to us. Not our power. We don't have any. But it says, according as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And there is a key that unlocks it. And Peter tells us right here, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And that knowledge is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is what's going to do this for us. We can't do it. And I can't emphasize that enough. We're going to have to depend upon our knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we are going to see God day by day, step by step, increase that knowledge. That is what will reveal the power of God in our lives. Verse 4 says, whereby are given to us exceeding great. That means very large. Very large. And I used this as an illustration last week. We picture God sitting in heaven on his throne. He's looking down at Coastal Shores Baptist Church and all the people who are there. And he's taking a teaspoon and pouring out blessings? No. He's got a bushel basket. And he just wants to dump that on all of us. Now, this is not pie in the sky. That's what the Word of God says. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, means valuable promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. And people, that's what we're after. We are after the nature of Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. And if I am, and if you are, your friends are going to start asking you questions. They're going to start saying, Becky, what's happened to you? Tony, what's going on in your life? You're different. And that's what we all want to be. We all want to be like Jesus. And he's going to make it possible. Is there anything that God would withhold from you if you let him take control? Is there anything? No. He will pour out a blessing. You know, I know a lot of people use this as a reason for tithing. They talk about in Malachi 3:10. When God says, and again, this is the Holy Spirit speaking through men. Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. And they say, well, that's it. You're just trying to get our money. But that's not the part of the verse I want you to think about. I want you to think about, and I want you to plan on, the last part of the verse. And it says, prove me now. Test him. See if God can keep his word. See if God can do the things that he says he can do for us. He can. It says, prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts. God is saying this. Prove me. Let me show you. Let me keep my word. And to finish the verse, it says, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Man, what does he mean by that? Oh, we're not all going to be millionaires, folks. It's not going to work that way. But he wants to bless everybody here this morning. And not just a little blessing. He wants to pour out a blessing like you can't imagine. And it's all going to come through those three verses in 2 Peter 5 through 7. As we take step after step, as we take the next step that God wants us to take. Too many people, they get saved and they say, okay, I'm saved and I don't have to do anything else. Don't even need to go to church. And I just don't need to do anything. I'm saved. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be discipled. When you lead a person to the Lord, you're supposed to work with them. You're supposed to help them to learn what the Bible's saying. Help them to understand what God is saying to them. Would you have a baby and just lay it down there and walk away and say, well, it'll take care of itself. And yet that's what we do with people. We'll lead someone to the Lord and we walk away and we leave them. And that's not what God wants. And so this morning, I want to share with you, and I am sharing with you, what God wants for us. What he wants for you, what he wants for me. For every one of us. And when Connie and I come back, we are going to start a series called The Next Step. And together, we are going to take the next step. And if you have trouble, if you don't understand it, and you want someone to help you, we're all here. And we are going to help one another so that nobody gets left behind. So that every one of us can experience that next step. And it's going to be amazing. It is going to be amazing. I'm going to just give you one little hint right now. We start with faith. And that's where we're going to start in 2 weeks, with faith. And it says, to your faith, add virtue. Well, we're going to define virtue. And I will tell you what the ultimate definition of virtue is. The ultimate definition of virtue is excellence. Excellence. God wants our life to be excellent. He wants us to be like Christ. And it doesn't all come at one time. And God has given us these things that we are to add in a particular sequence because that's the only way that they'll come together in our lives. And so, folks, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to reach out for excellence. And you will see God work in your heart, work in your life to provide what he says he wants you to have. So, you be praying. You be praying. God help me to do what Peter tells us to do in verses 5 through 7 of chapter 1, 2 Peter. And we will together take the next step. And then the next step after that. And the next step after that. And we're going to see God do something here. Something we have never dreamed about. Never expected. But he will do it because he's God. Let's pray. Jesus, oh, how we want to be like you. Father, we want people to see Jesus in us. We want people to know that we have been with him, that he has changed our heart. We want our loved ones to see it and to desire it. We want our friends to go with us to heaven. And so, Father, use us. Use each one of us as you mold us to be more like Jesus. Help us, Father, to believe that you can do this. Father, we're very weak people. We have trouble exercising faith when we can't see it. And yet, Father, may your Holy Spirit confirm in each of our hearts in the days to come that you are doing this in our hearts and in our lives. And may you be glorified by all that you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.